Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and to know your voice. Open our hearts and strengthen our wills as we seek your close presence in our lives. Amen. Good morning. We're all familiar with the idiom, caught between a rock and a hard place. But what does it really mean? It could be that you have two very bad choices or difficult situations that you have to address. Or you're facing a very hard decision that has two equally unpleasant and unacceptable options. From our readings this morning, we find Moses in a very fragile situation, trying to keep the Israelite community in line with God's commands and trying to keep God from completely abandoning him and the entire Israelite community. And we see Jesus in Matthew's gospel faced with the no-win question posed by the Pharisees regarding the payment of taxes. Moses is frustrated and at his wit's end in our reading from Exodus, frustrated with the Israelite people for doing their own thing, not following God's commands and going so far as to build a golden calf to worship, which we heard about last Sunday. Moses also has lost his patience with God, who he believes is abandoning him and the entire Israelite community over their past behavior. Jesus is frustrated in Matthew's gospel because the Pharisees continue to test him and try to trick him into heresy, plotting to put his ministry to an end, even if it means putting him to death. Both characters are in tight spots. Have you ever found yourself in such challenging and tedious situations? I believe I have, and I feel like I've been locked in a prevailing situation for a very long time now. Months of annoyance have turned into years of irritation and now anger. I feel I'm between that proverbial rock and a hard place, with no way of escaping. No peace and calm in my life. Every day I feel inundated with political corruption and hypocrisy, falsehoods and lies from the very people who are to have our best interest at the forefront. I hear frightening voting and election rhetoric that wants to ensure voter suppression, reducing the rights of Americans, especially those on the margins, to not have their voices heard. I see our justice system being manipulated and overrun with power to take away health care to millions of people, rights of women to make choices over their own bodies taken away, the freedom to love and marry whom you love being halted, all by right-leaning conservatives who feel their God has empowered them to speak for all society. I see and hear my black and brown siblings marching, declaring their wage with systemic racism, racial injustice, and police brutality that continues to reign supreme in our society. The persistent discrimination, oppression, and exclusion toward people of color, economic abilities, educational limitations, and mental health status cripple our society in ensuring that all people are created equal. We have put the right to possess a firearm above the right to have safe schools for our children and safety on our streets and in our homes. We now have confirmed white supremacy groups plotting to kidnap our governors because of the human safety mandates they have put in place. Our most vulnerable are unemployed or underemployed at the highest rate since the Great Depression. Lower and middle income earners continue to slide further down in their earning ability as the wealthy continue to enjoy unrealistic tax breaks and wage increases. As of earlier this morning, our country has now over 218,000 deaths from the coronavirus, with over 8 million infections. As a chaplain intern at SLU Hospital, I personally witnessed a 63-year-old African-American man die alone in his intensive care bed on Wednesday night. I prayed and I cried. I saw the lifeless, limp body of Christ as he was taken down from the cross in that man. My friends, we are not rounding the corner in getting this pandemic under control. We must stop kidding ourselves. We must stop allowing ourselves to be kidded. There is absolutely no sign of it subsiding. We have the majority of states recording daily record-setting infections and deaths. 1 million new infections every 3 weeks. There is no plan to contain the virus. There never has been. There is no cure, and the American people will rightfully be fearful of any vaccine that comes out anytime soon. The trust in our government to protect us has been forfeited. Lies and greed have become acceptable, and a new normal for those willing to accept the falsehoods. And most disparaging to me in all of this is the unending, ugly, hateful vitriol that we humans spew at one another, at anyone who doesn't think or believe or behave the way you or I do. The divisiveness in our nation that is inflicted on us is mind-boggling. I find myself more and more like Moses, having an intense debate with God every day, or more honestly, actually arguing with God about my world that has gone mad. I believe many of our siblings have ventured out to create their own versions of the golden calf, following and elevating false prophets, worshiping false gods, and idolizing material and financial gains, and all the while turning their backs and hearts against you and me and God. It seems greed and love of power have taken over our social norms. I continue to return to my baptismal covenant, and I find myself in an internal battle of trying to love my neighbor as myself and strive for justice and peace among all people and being able to respect the dignity of every human being while humanity continues to be unaccepting of such a way of living. I am convinced that this is what God is asking me to do. But my struggle comes with what I'm bombarded with from my day-to-day encounters with my neighbors. Peace in my heart dwindles. So as Moses finishes up his challenging words and discussion with God, God is able to assure him that he will always be with him. Moses and the Israelites will never be abandoned. God knows Moses, God knows him by name. And Moses has found favor in God's sight. God truly knows and favors Moses, just as God knows and favors you and me. To know someone by name means to embrace that person in a relationship of acceptance and friendship. God knew Moses in a loving, saving, and personal way. God knows all of God's children like this, you and me included. God knew us in our mother's womb, as we read in Psalm 139. God knew us even before the foundation of the world. And in Jeremiah 31, we hear God saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God makes the same promise to us that God made to Moses. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. This very thing that you have spoken, I will do. For you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. That grace and love that God bestowed on Moses also was showered on the Israelites as well. Now, in our gospel, we find the Pharisees, along with their unimaginable partners in crime, the Herodians, trying desperately to trip Jesus up and get him off the streets and into prison. Jesus knows all of this, and he won't play into their hand, which, of course, frustrates the Pharisees all the more. Jesus is taking a stand on what he knows is truth and justice. It's the only way he knows. Don't you just love how Jesus responds to what appears to be a no-win response question, caught between a rock and a hard place? Very insightful, Jesus. You provided a perfect response. Unlike our politicians and leaders who try to pull the wool over our eyes and tell us what they think we want to hear, no matter if it's true or not. Jesus was completely clear that there is a distinction between the things of the world and the things of God, and that we must make that distinction. Society must give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, because right now we are of the world. But more importantly than that, we must give to God what belongs to God. So I ask, what belongs to God? Take a look at yourself in the mirror and turn and look at someone that is near to you right now. What do you see? You should see the image of God right before you, in you and in others. You, me, we all belong to God because we were created in the image of God. Knowing this, it becomes a simple task to give to God what belongs to God. We give ourselves to God, our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our free will, our energy, our frustrations, our compassions, our decision-making, our reasoning and understanding, our love, everything. Everything should be offered back to God in thanksgiving for all that God has given to us. Jesus, God made incarnate, gave us two clear commandments to follow. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. Such a simple expectation and command, but it is by far the most challenging and difficult to achieve. We have to work hard, very hard, in order to even get close to achieving it. It's about giving and sharing love. Love of neighbor, no matter who they are, or what they believe, or who they love. Love conquers hate. Love makes the world go round. Love can be as simple as holding your tongue when you want to say something negative. It can be as easy as shutting down Facebook for a day or two and not getting caught up in all the negativity, or instead posting something positive or beautiful. Love can mean following scientific facts by wearing a mask when you are around other people, because you want to protect their health and life and reduce the spread of the virus. Love of neighbor and country means voting in the upcoming election. Many of us have already voted, and everyone else, I hope, will go to the polls on November 3rd. This is your duty. This is your responsibility to have your voice heard on what leadership should look like and be like in our country. Our faith requires that we bring respect, dignity, compassion, and truth to our society once again. Let me say that again. Our faith requires us that we bring respect, dignity, compassion, and truth to our society once again. Voting truly becomes an act of faith. Love also means assisting others, getting to the polls to vote, or maybe even babysitting for a young mother or father so that they can have time to go vote. Voting is a community effort. Love means standing up and speaking out at every opportunity when you see justice for our Black and Brown siblings being violated, and then working toward an equitable solution. You understand what I'm getting at. You know the right things to do. Now, while I know my frustration and anger is not going to subside easily or anytime soon, especially over the next few weeks, I am confident that I am not standing alone. God is with me. God walks with me, and God gives me the determination and the courage to face the difficult challenges and the strength to face head on the things that must be changed in order to bring and build God's kingdom here on earth. God expects you and me to succeed in achieving our baptismal promises. We must never give up. We must never give in. There are too many of God's children who are depending on you and I to do the right thing, no matter how impossible the task may seem. God knows each of us by name. God will remain faithful to us, even in our darkest perils. Amen.